We welcome you back to our 2014 Rowland County Primary Candidate Forum. Right now we'll be hearing from our candidates for sheriff on hand with us tonight. I think Joe is still here, isn't he? All right, Joe Klein, Donnie Hall Jr., Kenny Skeens, Matt Sparks, and Larry Joe Stevens are our candidates. And let's give you some biographical information first off. Joe Klein, candidate for Rowland County Sheriff, has 29 years of law enforcement experience and over 2,800 hours of law enforcement training. He's worked for the Moorhead Police Department as a patrolman and detective and has been assistant chief and chief of police at the Moorhead State University Police Department. He served as chief deputy for the Rowland County Sheriff's Office for the past 5 years. A graduate of the FBI Academy, Mr. Klein has also served in the Army National Guard. He's a graduate of the Criminal Justice Executive Development Program, completed an executive leadership course taught by the FBI Academy, and completed the Police Executive Command Course annual training for 10 years. He currently serves on the Kentucky Law Enforcement Council and Kentucky Association of Chiefs of Police Executive Board. Donnie Hall has served as deputy at the Rowland County Detention Center for 5 years, chief deputy for two of those years. He's also employed as a police officer for 2.5 years at the Moorhead State University Police Department. He's a deputy with the Rowland County Sheriff's Office, a position he's held for the past 8 years. He's a graduate of Rowland County High School, attended Moorhead State University, and is a graduate of the Department of Criminal Justice Training at Eastern State University. Matt Sparks has 28 years of experience as a police officer and supervisor. He retired from the Kentucky State Police at the rank of captain after serving as a trooper, detective, supervisor of the agency's internal affairs section, post commander at the Hazard and Ashland Post, and commander of the agency's Human Resources Brigade. He's a certified instructor and has trained hundreds of state and local police officers and social workers. He's currently the police chief at Moorhead State University. He's a graduate of Rowland County High School, Moorhead State University, the Kentucky State Police Academy, KSP Leadership Academy, Southern Police Institute Homicide Investigation. Kenny Skeens' 26-year tenure with the Kentucky State Police Department included 8.5 years as a trooper and 17.5 years as a detective, during which time he worked in eastern Kentucky during coal strikes and flood details, serving on as an assistant leader with the special response team and working all facets of criminal investigations from petty thefts to homicides. He presently serves as a Rowland County detective for the county attorney's office. He also serves as a special bailiff for various statewide courts. He graduated from high school in 1971, from Mayo State Vocational Technical School in 1973, and from the Kentucky State Police Academy in 1974. Larry Joe Stevens has worked for the Rowland County Sheriff's Department for 28 years, serving as chief deputy for 15 years. He worked for the city of Moorhead as a police officer for a year. He's a veteran and a member of the American Legion. He graduated from Rowland County High School and received certification through the Sheriff's Academy at Western Kentucky University and is a certified deputy sheriff through the Department of Justice Police Academy at Eastern Kentucky University. Time now for our first question, and Mr. Klein will lead off here. What is your experience in managing staffs and large-scale budgets?
Chuck, I've been the last 12 years, I've been in some type of administrative role. I've been either assistant chief of police, or chief deputy. I've managed budgets pretty much on a daily basis. I've helped develop budgets. I've put them together, and that's been my role for that length of time, about 12 years.
Mr. Hall?
I started my career about 15.5 years ago at the Rowland County Detention Center. While I worked there, I promoted my way up to sergeant, then to chief deputy. While I was there, I assisted with a lot of the budgets we had through the detention center. Since then, I've not had much budget opportunity. Thank you.
Mr. Skeens.
Presently in 2014, the sheriff's budget is $1.2 million. I don't have a lot of experience in budgets, but when it comes to budgets, you're dealing with income and expense, and you have to be able to manage it so that the income or the revenue will exceed the expense. It works the same for a family budget as well as a $1.2 million sheriff's budget. I will have the assistance of the staff in the sheriff's office as well as the fiscal court and the county treasurer in doing this. I'll be a good steward of the taxpayers' dollars if I'm elected your next sheriff.
Mr. Sparks.
Yes, Chuck, I have, as I said earlier, you mentioned I've had 28 years in law enforcement. The last half of that career was in supervision, so I've spent at least 14 years managing staff, hiring staff. As you mentioned, I was the commander of our human resource section, was dealt with our recruitment, our academy branch, all the training that goes to the state police. So even my role as a chief of police at Morris State University and working with budgets there, my roles as post commander at Hazard and Ashland and working with a large budget, I have that experience in managing budgets. I know about budget projections, budget revenues, and shortfalls of budgets, and trying to accomplish things with a limited budget. Seems like every place I worked, you never had enough money. I haven't worked any place yet where I thought there was an adequate funds. So I do have that budget experience, and I do have that managing staff and people experience.
Mr. Stevens?
Half of my career was 15 years chief deputy. I work for budgets. I work for the physical court. I work for the treasurer's department for 15 years. So I know what it takes to do it.
Our next question, and Mr. Hall will start here. How would you, as sheriff, enhance the current efforts being made to curb the county's problem with drugs and drug trafficking?
Chuck, when you look up here at this table, there's, between all of us up here tonight, there's over 100 years of law enforcement experience. The one thing that sets me aside different than the rest of the guys that are here tonight is that for the last decade, I've been out here on the front line personally dealing with these drug issues. I've seen the effects of the current drugs we're dealing with, heroin, bath salts, opiates, synthetic drugs. I think this experience has gave me a unique insight into a method to wage a war on this drug. If I'm elected sheriff, I will use my current experience to develop a plan to attack this drug epidemic.
Mr. Skeens.
I will partnership with other law enforcement agencies and identify who the dealers of these illegal drugs are. And once that we have them identified, then we're going to continue the undercover operations that are already in effect here in the community from the state police and the sheriff's office. And then, if I'm elected your sheriff, I'm going to go and introduce myself to these people. And I'm going to let them know that we know who they are, we know what they're doing, and Round County is not open for business for them to sell their poison to our children. And every chance we get, we're going to put them in jail.
Mr. Sparks.
Chuck, I could spend the next hour talking about my plans and ideas to address this problem, so I'll try to say as much as I can in 60 seconds. I also want to say that none of the ideas I have are going to require a tax increase. We want to work with the current budget that the sheriff's office has available now. But one of my first plans is to start something like the MAD chapter. There was no real changes in DUI enforcement in the state until Mothers Against Drunk Drivers got involved. They started holding prosecutors and judges accountable. They went to legislators and had tough laws put in place. So that's the first thing we'll start, is that on the county level, and then get that and hopefully grow that statewide. I also want to get the sheriff's department involved before arrest, before jail. I want to have where people know that they can call us and say, I've got a son or daughter using drugs. I've got a spouse using drugs. And what can we do? We want to be involved. I want to run the drug traffickers out of this county. Most of these drug traffickers live on public roads. We can use surveillance. We can use saturated patrols. They're going to know that they can't do business in our county.
Mr. Stevens.
Aussie was a hard worker all my career. Aussie out beating people and doing things. I don't know who's still dealing with drugs. I'm not going to stop doing all that.
Mr. Klein.
Back in 2009, when Sheriff Carter promoted me to chief deputy, he and I were in call after call came into the sheriff's office about this drug epidemic that we're talking about. Sheriff Carter and I sat down and we said we're going to have to develop a plan to do something about this. We approached the physical court and asked them to help us, and they did. They stepped up, and we put together the first narcotics unit the Sheriff's Department's ever had, and it's the first one that's just dedicated to Round County. Chuck, this has been very successful since 2010. I believe we've had over 160 arrests. We've had numerous indictments, and we've been doing the job that needed to be done for a long time, and we've picked it up and wanted to, and we're going to continue doing this when I'm elected sheriff.
Next question, and Mr. Skeens will be leading off here. What involvement should the Sheriff's Department have in drug and alcohol rehabilitation programs?
Well, we should be able to work with other agencies such as Unite and groups of this nature, and the county attorney's office, the substance abuse programs that are implemented in other, such as the jail. If there's anything that the sheriff's office can do, then they should do it. I mean, that's about it.
Repeat the question, Chuck.
Sure. What involvement should the Sheriff's Department have in drug and alcohol rehabilitation programs?
Now, I believe the Sheriff's Department should be heavily involved in drug and rehabilitation programs. Not what happens so many times with law enforcement, we don't get involved until there's an arrest or until we're actually putting someone in jail. As I was started to say earlier, what I like to do is work with families when they've got a loved one they think is involved in drugs, provide drug test kits. There's grants out there available. We can bribe families with drug tests so they can confirm their suspicions that they have a loved one using drugs. I want us, as I said earlier, I think I want us involved before. I want us involved before it ends up in arrest, where they have a family member in jail. There are parents, there are spouses out here that have done it and done it right. They've helped kick addiction. We all know these rehab facilities are too high. They're expensive. Most people will tell you, I'd love to get my son or daughter in rehab or my spouse in rehab, but I can't afford it. You know, So what I want to do is use some of these people who succeeded, parents who used that tough love, how they got their son or daughter off addiction. I want to talk to some spouses who maybe helped husbands or wife get off of drugs and use them also.
Mr. Stevens.
I think she's already at a young age, like in the high schools, and bring back sort of a program like the DARA program. You got two officers in the schools now. Use them to teach your children growing up not to use drugs, alcohol, and all this. Start at a young age. Because you're waiting to get 30 and 40, a lot of times a little bit too late.
Mr. Klein?
We're in homes right now. Deputies are. We've sat in living rooms. We've talked with parents. We've talked with grandparents. We've talked to the ones that are addicted to this this monster, if you want to call it, of addiction. We've recommended that they seek counseling, that they look to rehab. And sometimes it takes some encouragement, not just from parents and family, but it takes it from somebody that's in a leadership position in the community. So we're doing it now, and we're going to continue to do and give that advice and give that before we can send them to get the help that they need.
Mr. Hall?
I think the Sheriff's Department already plays a big role in drug and alcohol rehabilitation. I know as a deputy, I've helped numerous families in this community. You can't force an adult to go to rehab. You can't force them to go to alcohol rehabilitation. And a lot of times once somebody gets to their wit's end, a family does, they don't longer know what to do. A lot of times we have family members charging their own family for thefts and different things to basically get them into the system. I think the county attorney touched on the other night, Cecil Watkins, that we practice this regularly to charge people to get them in to get them help with the pretense that they're going to amend them and force them to go to rehab. There's several programs out there like Drug Court and some of the others that Drug Court's excellent. It does a good job. It keeps them in check and online. So, Chuck, I think we're already doing that. And as I'm elected sheriff, we'll do even more of that. Thank you.
Our next question and the first response will go to Mr. Sparks. Many law enforcement agents complain that House Bill 463, which often releases nonviolent offenders from jail early, forces them to rearrest the same individuals over and over again. Do you think the law should be changed, and if so, what changes do you recommend?
Yes, I think there should be some adjustments to the law. Everybody in this room knows what a drug problem we have in this county, in this state, in this country. So anytime you go back and you make a penalty less for a severe problem, it's only going to get worse. Now, I understand the meaning. I understand the reasoning behind that. They're trying to clear the jails and save taxpayer dollars, and I understand that. But I think we really got to look hard if we want to do something about this issue. We got to look at being able to incarcerate people. And I know the incarceration is not the answer. I'm the first to tell you that just putting them in jail time after time after time is not an answer to our drug problem. But I will say this. When you got that drug trafficker in jail, that's one less day that he spent selling drugs on our streets. So even though jail's not the answer, it's a good place to start. Again, I realize the monetary issues there, but I think there needs to be some adjustments where, you know, even on campus now, we're citing kids for possession of marijuana. You know, what we used to arrest for, so many of those changes because of that House bill that I disagree with.
Mr. Stevens.
I'll bring Mr. Sparks one of it. Knee stock, you know, House bill, the main thing that was passed for is for the budget. It wasn't passed to meet the people in Brown County or Kentucky for here. It's putting them back on the street like a revolving door. Just keeping the same crimes and back in the jail again. You need to not worry so much about money sometimes as worry about safety.
Mr. Klein.
There's areas in the House Bill 463 that definitely needs to be changed. We approached the Sheriff's Association, Chiefs of Police Association, and had those as our liaison with legislators and said, you know, we don't necessarily have to repeal it, but we need some changes made in it because of what we're seeing. In and out, back, you know, we put them in and they're released back out, and we understand that it's a budget issue with the state, but there can be some changes made if they'll ask the right people that's on the street and knows what's going on, and we can give some input to that. House Bill 463 has really handcuffed us as to how we can approach the drug enforcement and how we've been doing it to how we're doing it now. We've had to change our game plan, but you know, we'll work within the law, we'll work whatever we need to do, but it does need some revision in it.
Mr. Hall.
Well, House Bill 463 is definitely not a friend to law enforcement. It's actually weakened some of our, like I said, our tactics. The way things work, House Bill 463 made all drug offenses nonviolent. So when we catch somebody, whether it's trafficking or sometimes even possession, it's no secret how we catch drug dealers. We ask them where they got their drugs. And what we use is leverage. We use leverage, which is time of sentencing. Well, House Bill 463 basically made it nonviolent, which means once they serve 15% of their time, they're eligible for parole. Right now, over 90% of them is making parole in their first round. So they receive a 7-year sentence on an average here in Brown County, which is a decent sentence. You're only talking 10 months, 10 and a half months. You can't get much information out of anybody when they know they only got to stand on their head for 10 months. So it definitely weakens law enforcement.
Mr. Skeens.
I agree that it does weaken law enforcement. I don't even think that the judges and the prosecutors agree with this law. I think that they have seen that it ties their hands a lot of times. When people are arrested and they're put in the facility for drug crimes, and then they have to turn them loose or they get a lesser sentence, and then the next couple of weeks they're right back in their court. So I think that definitely it does need to be revised.
All right, we'll move to our next question, and Mr. Hall leads off here. What do you see as the role of the Sheriff's Department as it works in cooperation with other law enforcement agencies inside Rowan County, and would you make any changes?
Well, the Sheriff's Department, right now, we work with multiple agencies, obviously, to get things done, but especially me. I work nights and weekends, and most given nights by myself. If it wasn't for the Kentucky State Police and the Moorhead Police and Fish and Wildlife, I'd be responding to everything I did alone. So I have built a very good rapport with the agencies. And one of the things that I would like to do when I'm elected sheriff is actually pull everything together. Like I said, we got 100 years experience up here, and I think everybody at this panel will agree with me that the only thing that you can do as a law enforcement officer to get things done is to share information. If you've got something going on in your county, if each agency doesn't know what the other one's doing, we're missing out on a lot of opportunities to solve a lot of cases.
Mr. Skeens.
Yes, Chuck, I will work with other agencies. I have worked with other agencies throughout my career, both state and federal and local agencies. I will continue to do this. I feel that it is necessary. I will go to the other sheriffs in the adjoining counties and ask them that we meet on a quarterly basis and share information as far as who the drug dealers are in their counties, who are the how are the burglaries rate in their counties, the thefts, and things of this nature. And I believe that we have to share information, because drug dealing and stealing and things like that doesn't stop at a county line. It goes outside the counties. And a lot of times it comes from outside the county into our county. So, yes, I will work with other agencies.
Mr. Sparks.
Chuck, can you repeat that? I know it's kind of a long question, and I got the end of it, but I want to make sure I cover the first of it.
No.
It's a long one.
All right. We're going to have to start taking notes, man.
I know, I'm trying.
What do you see as the role of the Sheriff's Department as it works in cooperation with other law enforcement agencies inside Rowan County, and would you make any changes?
I see the role of the Sheriff's Department as being just one of many law enforcement agencies that work in this county. Obviously, we have the State Police Post, we have the Moorhead City Police, we have the University Police, we have Kentucky Vehicle Enforcement, we have Fish and Wildlife. I'm sure the Federal Park Service operate in this county, especially in the lake area. And I think the Sheriff's Department has to work with each of those agencies. One of the changes I might make is, you know, being a former state police commander and working with the post commander that's out here now, I plan to get with him and say, listen, when is your strong nights? When are your strong days? If he's got three troopers out on a Saturday night, maybe I only need one deputy, and he's only got one trooper out maybe on a Sunday or Monday night. So I want to work with them, not just work with them to kind of cover our patrols and help us make sure we got this county covered. I think the people in this county now are wanting that. Used to, we had people who called and just requested state police. But I think now that's changed. I think they're the people of our community are content with whoever shows up in that uniform.
Mr. Stevens.
Yes, sir. I was chief deputy about 15 years, and we had meetings once a month with all surrounding counties, state police, city police, campus, and like Maysville. We solved a lot of crimes, a lot of burglaries, and we've done it all the time as chief of police, and I'll continue to do that if I'm elected sheriff.
And Mr. Klein.
Yes, it is vital that we do work with other agencies. We're doing it now, and we're going to continue to do that. You know, the sheriff's office, has the lowest amount of personnel, deputies that's out there with the biggest geographical area to cover. And it's vital that we depend on the state police, the city police, the university police, everybody that we can reach out to and ask for assistance, and they do the same. It's that spirit of cooperation. We work with federal, state, other agencies, as Mr. Skeen said there a minute ago. We presently work in contact sheriffs from different counties, especially the adjoining counties, because things that we are investigating, they're investigating too, the similar things. And these, not just the drug offenses, but the thefts and other offenses, they do cross the county lines. And we've got to work as a group of agencies together for our community.
Our next question, and Mr. Skeens will have the initial response here. Since the new Rowan County Jail could be located some distance from the county's judicial center, what will your department do to best protect public safety while transporting prisoners from the detention center to the courts?
Well, Chuck, I think that the way things are going right now, we're transporting them close to a mile. And as far as I know, that there's not any problem. We're going to continue what has been implemented by the sheriff's office. We have bailiffs, we have deputy sheriffs, we have a special vehicle that the sheriff's office uses as a van. So I don't see any changes that's going to be coming about.
Mr. Sparks.
Chuck, I've had the, I don't know if it's a privilege or curse really, the opportunity to travel across this country during my tenure in the state police, going to, after prisoners. You know, we'd indict them in Round County or one of these surrounding counties, and they may end up in Dallas. Or, I've been all over the country tracking them down, actually, after they've been arrested in other locations, going and actually getting those prisoners and transporting them back to Kentucky, back to this area. There are procedures in place. You know, of course, one of the things you talk about keeping the safe for the public, anytime you're transporting a prisoner, we did in the state police. I'll see that we do that in the sheriff's department. I'm not sure what they do now, but you know, you always put belly chains on anytime you're transporting anybody. That way, the prisoner does get out of that vehicle on you. He's not running too far and he's not running too fast. It's hard to run with your legs and with your hands tied behind your back and that belly chain on. So there's policies that I will follow that we've used in state police to make sure that the public is safe as we're transporting those people across this county. I will assure that.
Mr. Stevens.
When I was chief deputy, we always used leg arms and handcuffs. And we also had sent at least 2 to 3 officers. Because sometimes, whether these gentlemen work for state police or not, we transport up to 30 people one way to court. You don't transport just 1 or 2 people. You transport whole loads of people to court. I only sent 2 officers, a minimum of 2 officers.
Mr. Klein?
That's what we're presently doing. You know, as they said a minute ago about the van where we can haul multiple prisoners. Every one of them are shackled, they're handcuffed, and the belly chain is the chain that goes around your waist. The handcuffs are run through the chain, and their hands are stationary around their waist where they can't, there's a very little movement. And we do sometimes still transport in vehicles. Depending on the number of prisoners, we send 2, sometimes 3 deputies, 3 court security officers to pick up the prisoners and transport. Depending on where the new jail is located, of course, we'll take that into consideration too. And we'll use as many people as we need to ensure that the deputies or the court security is safe and the public safe during this transit time.
Mr. Hall.
Well, Chuck, I think they pretty much covered everything. Basically, we're following those procedures now by shackling and handcuffing and belly chains. And obviously, like I said, the geographic location of the jail will make a little bit of a difference. We touched on that a little bit too. The farther we have to haul them, the more inmates we have to bring back and forth. Obviously, the more precautions we want to take. I think maybe sometimes we need to follow up with some little extra training with our court security officers. We have a pretty good turnover every now and then. We have several new people coming in. But pretty much the policies we're using now in place as far as transporting prisoners, obviously public safety is the number one issue with everything. Not only for the people in public, obviously the officers transporting and even the inmates.
Our next question, and it will be Mr. Sparks' turn to answer first. What priority as sheriff will you place on serving warrants and other court papers, and please explain?
Serving warrants will have to be right at the top of that list, Chuck. So many times, and I hate to keep referring back to my state police career, but when you spend as much time working for that agency as I did, that's where a lot of my experience comes from. It doesn't matter if the warrant is for some simple misdemeanor or if it's a serious charge, you have to put that at the top of your priority list simply because of the fact that if that person commits another crime while they're out, can you imagine if we're holding a warrant, even if it's a warrant for contempt of court or failure to appear, we're holding that warrant and that person gets out here and gets intoxicated, runs over your family and kills them. Then you're going to want to know why that warrant wasn't served, why my office was holding that warrant. So those have to be a priority. The process, the paperwork for the court system, whether it be summonses or subpoenas, is also required. Obviously, that is not usually a safety priority as I feel a warrant service would be, but it's still part of the requirement of the job that's required by statute that the sheriff's office serve that type of paperwork.
Mr. Stevens?
Well, I worked for many years. We never held no warrants. We never held no summons. We served them when we got them. That's basically what I'm going to do when I'm elected sheriff.
Mr. Klein.
It is a priority. We get papers every day. I mean, stacks of papers. I'll go out and I'll serve 5 to 10 papers, and I'll come back and it seems like there's 5 to 10 more laying on my desk. It's nonstop when it comes to civil processes, warrants, emergency protective orders. There's just so many that comes in, and you do prioritize. You take the serious, the felony warrants, you take misdemeanor warrants, and you go out and you make that a priority. And we have to do that, and we'll continue to do that.
Mr. Hall.
I think our paper service is definitely a priority. The thing with warrants anymore, not that many of them actually come through our office. We went to a system a couple of years ago called eWarrant, which makes it open and available to all agencies. Now, used to, we handled all paper copies of warrants, but that's just not the case anymore. However, we do serve EPOs, and which obviously are the utmost priority because it's a protection order. And the second thing is our civil papers. Listen, the sheriff's office is a fee office. We get paid to serve civil papers. We get $30 per paper. And if 5 deputies serve 5 papers a day, can't do that math off the top of my head, but, you know, that's almost pays their salary for the day. Not only do we make $30 per service, the fiscal court gets $10 of that. So I think our paper service is something that needs to be stepped up a little bit for added revenue and for convenience.
Mr. Steens.
Well, I don't presently work for the Sheriff's Department, serve, but I say that any time that a warrant comes into the office, that warrant is to be served. If we are to serve subpoenas, if subpoenas are not served, people don't know that they're going to be a witness in a court trial, or they're so they won't know to be there. Civil summons need to be served. So my office, if I'm elected sheriff, we will serve those summons in a timely manner. But there will be a priority going to warrants, and then we'll take the rest of it from there.
Our final question, and Mr. Stevens will have the first answer with this one. What do you feel makes you the best candidate for the office of Rowan County Sheriff?
Well, start off with, I think everybody on stage here, they're all really decent, good people. But the reason I think I'm the best candidate, I worked at the sheriff's office 30 years. I went to the sheriff academy. I know the sheriff's department inside and out. I've done about every job there. And you elect me as your sheriff, from day one, I'll just talk right off. Good staff, good people, and do the right thing.
Mr. Klein.
I have 29 years of law enforcement experience. Like I said, the last 12 in an administrative role. I've had been to the FBI National Academy, Criminal Justice Executive Development Program, Executive Leadership Course. I think I've prepared myself to step up and take the role as the next Rowan County Sheriff.
Mr. Hall. I have over 15 years of law enforcement experience. The last 8 years of it has been with the Sheriff's Department. I've been very active in my community. I go out to work every day and answer multiple complaints, from domestic violence to suicidal subjects to thefts, burglaries, and everything in between. Actually, the criminal aspect is only a small portion of my everyday job. This morning when I was sitting there trying to think of what I was going to say today, I asked my 5-year-old daughter, I said, why do you think Dad would make a good sheriff? Her response was, well, Dad, because you're always helping people. I thought about what she said, and it made sense, and I realized that is the primary job of the Sheriff's Department, is to help people. I think that if I'm elected sheriff, I will run a community-focused Sheriff's Department. I will be available for the people, and so will my deputies.
Mr. Skeens.
Chuck, I had 26 years in the Kentucky State Police. 8.5 years of those were as a trooper. 17.5 years were as a detective. I worked all 11 counties in the Moorhead Post area, many other counties in the eastern Kentucky. I worked with various investigations with the FBI, the ATF, the DEA, the Secret Service. I have the experience.
I took an oath in 1974 when I graduated the State Police Academy that I would protect and serve the citizens of the Commonwealth. I took pride in that I was a public servant. I wasn't a resume builder. I was a public servant. And I will take pride in that when I get to be the next Round County Sheriff.
And Mr. Sparks.
Chuck, I don't feel comfortable saying I'm the best candidate. I don't know if I've ever been the best of anything. I do say that I feel I'm one of five good candidates. I think each of these guys are qualified. I think I'm qualified. I think my experience, I have different experiences I bring. We all bring police experience, but my experience as a police supervisor, running one of the largest posts in the state police, my experience in the human resources section with state police, my experience in internal affairs, investigating complaints on police officers. I think the leadership training, the leadership classes I've taken have helped prepare me for this position. My experience with budgets, both in the state police and in my current position at the university, I think gives me some unique experience. And again, I don't want to sit here and say that I'm the best. I think I'm one of five good choices that we have this year. If the voters want to say I'm the best, if they like me, I guess they may tell me that. But I don't feel comfortable saying I'm the best at anything, really.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Those are your candidates for Rowland County Sheriff. And that concludes our 2014 primary candidate forum, sponsored by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated. Thanks to all the candidates who appeared this week, our timekeeper, Shelby Steele, our participating radio stations, WMKY, WIBY, WKCA, and also to those of you who joined us. I'm Chuck Meraz, reminding you to take advantage of your American right and vote during the May 20th primaries. Good night, everyone.